Gorgeous. Beautiful on the ears. Welcome. Good morning. Mark, it's good to see you. Thomas, we're going to have to get you playing the piano too at some point. April, it's good to see you too. Hi. So good to see people. I see so many people I don't know. I just want to welcome you here this morning to the Arroyo Grande Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are just getting into a series on the invitations of Jesus. Last week I preached on John chapter 1 by the Jordan River, where the disciples followed Jesus to the place where he was staying. When I finished the sermon, I had a prayer, closing prayer, and I then walked out of the church, and I had a gentleman come up to me afterwards and say, "Pastor Joshua, as you were praying, I was realizing that you were actually done with the sermon, and it was rather short, and I quickly realized during the prayer that I should have paid more attention." And I said, "Well, save that for next time so they can pay attention." That's important. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the ability to breathe and communicate and to have life in us, your life. And Father, this morning as we look at another invitation that Jesus made, Father, I pray that we too can hear the invitation that you still have for every one of us today. Father, I thank you that you work in mighty ways, and I pray that you'd be in this place and move this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn in your Bibles to the first book in the Gospels, book of Matthew, and go to chapter 4, and go to verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, grab the pew Bible in front of you. It's page 1,500. Grab the pew Bible in front of you. You're going to need a Bible, because I'm going to have you do something in just a minute. So grab a Bible. When you get there, say amen. Here's what I want you to do, what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to turn to the person next to you, and I'd like you to read the text to the person next to you. Okay? Matthew 4, 18 to 22. I'd like you to read the text to the person next to you. If nobody's next to you, then read it to yourself. But read the text to the person next to you. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a minute. Go ahead. Got it, Eddie. All right. God's word's just been read by at least 70 people aloud. What's going on here? What's happening? Fishermen are being called. And what do they do in response to this invitation that Jesus says to them? Immediately they follow him. Is this the first and final or only call in the Gospels? No, it's not the only call in the gospel. In fact, just last week, Russ brought to my attention that I was preaching out of John. He said, hang on, Andrew, Simon, Peter, and John, or Simon, Peter, and John are being called here, but they're also being called over here. So which one is it? Right? There's actually every gospel account takes into account the call that Jesus made to his disciples. John in itself is a distinct call, whereas Matthew is another call that confirms with Mark, actually. Mark and Matthew are somewhat similar in the storyline. But then the final call where they actually leave everything and they don't go back to fishing during the time of Jesus' ministry is found in Luke. And we know that because in Luke, that's when the miracle happens where he goes out in the boat with Peter and they throw the net out. And Jesus says, throw your net on that side. And Peter says, I've been doing it all night, but I'll throw it out anyways. And he throws it out, and what happens? All these fish come back, right? It's in Luke 6 that he actually says to them, from now on, guys, from now on, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for men. And so that is the final call. So this call, we could call it the second call, perhaps. But the thing that troubles me about this text and in the context of these calls is that these men continued to go back to what they knew. They continued to go back to what was familiar, right? See, when Jesus was standing there on the Jordan and John said, oh, behold, the Lamb of God. What did two of his disciples do? They said, oh, we're going to go after Jesus and see where he's staying and get to know who he is. And right then and there in John, Jesus says, Simon, your name's now going to be Peter. Why did he switch his name? I mean, if I came to Timothy and said, Timothy, you're going to be called Bob from now on, y'all might think that's a little strange. But really, why did he change his name? Does anybody know that? Somebody in here knows that. You're going with the definition. Yeah, had some meaning behind the name. But biblically speaking, why were names changed? Can we think of some times in the Bible where names were changed? Jacob, Abram, Sarai, right? So what did that signify? Being a new person, but also that person belonging to him. Adhering to him, saying, hey, I am now going to be under you. My recognition is because of you, God. And this is how God sees, how God saw him, right? So that change took place. So Jesus calls these men and they follow him and John. But then we see that they go back to fishing. Because in Matthew, he's walking by the seashore once again. And he calls them, and they leave their families, they leave their stuff, and they follow Jesus again. But then they had to go back to fishing because in Luke, they're back in the boats, and Jesus is walking, and all the people gather around. You know the story. Jesus gets in the boat. He begins to preach. And it's not until then that Jesus says, from now on, guys, from now on, you are going to be fishers of men and not go after the fish. And I love, it's another sermon in itself, but I love how Jesus provided for their families at that moment. Do you know that? With all those fish that they caught? Think about that. These men were going to leave their fathers and their brothers and their mothers and their friends. And Jesus says, hey, what I'm asking of you is a lot. But the promises that I give you are even greater. And I can fulfill these promises. You see this? I've given you everything your family needs. And so that's the call for us today too, is that Jesus asks us to leave things behind. Jesus asks us to do a whole lot. It seems like a big insurmountable task, what God asks of us. But you know, the good news this morning is that God promises us so much more. He promises us so much more. And the good news is that God wants to make those promises come true. He wants to fulfill them. He wants to provide. So my question this morning is, what have you left behind in your walk, in your spiritual life? What have you left behind that you can look back and say, you know, I left this behind? Like Peter in the boat, he, when Jesus was on the lake and they caught all the fish, he recognized then and there exactly who this was, and he said, I'm not worthy. And he repented. He asked forgiveness. What have you left behind? Or are you still in the boat? Is there still things in your life that you need to say, God, I'm sorry. I need to leave this behind. I need to give it to you. Because like I said, God asks a whole lot. He does. And we're going to talk about that next week. But God promises a whole lot more. And the fulfillment on those promises ring true in our lives even today. Even today. You know, the challenge of change, check this out. The challenge of change is connecting our new reality with our past stories. You see that? I have trouble with change. I'll be honest. I do. I hate the fact that all my hair is going gray. And I can't really change it. I mean, I could dye my hair, right? I've done that in the past. But the challenge of change is connecting our new reality with our past stories. And when those two intersect, we have to take a hard look at our past and our future and say, well, how can I make this work? What do I need to let go of? How else do I need to step out of the boat? You know, today, we're like the four disciples we read about. We have a hard time leaving things behind. We do. We have difficulty sometimes letting go and giving God 100% control. We want to earn it. We want to work for it. We want to, right? What have you left behind for God? Because the promises here are absolutely beautiful. I have a quote that I want to read to you by Charles Spurgeon. And this is what he says. He says, when Christ calls us by his grace, we ought not to remember what we are, but what we ought also to think of what he can make us. It is, follow me and I will make you. We should repent of what we have been, but rejoice in what we may be. It is not follow me because of what you are already. It is not follow me because you may make something of yourselves, but follow me because of what I will make you. And that's the grace in this text. In verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say follow me and you have to do these steps and go through this process and all of a sudden you can earn, you can achieve, you can... No, he says, I'm going to do it. Through your surrendering and through your dedication and obedience to me, I'm going to work in you and do things that you never thought were possible in your life. And it comes down to surrender. It comes down to letting go. Saying, God, I'm nervous to leave that behind. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's trusting God with something in your life that you haven't been able to allow him to fully have. But you know, the beautiful promise is that God will make you into something amazing. And with the disciples, because we're talking about discipleship, he promised them that he would make them fishers of men. What did that mean? It meant that those four men were going to change the world because of what God would do through them. Did that happen? I'm not convinced. Did that happen? Yes. It's still happening. So the promise stands true today that God can work in us and do something in us so that we can go out and do the same thing with God's help. Amen? Is he fulfilling those promises? Yeah, I mean, look at the spotlight videos that we have, right? Baptisms and schools going up around the world, and the gospel has continued to be spread around the world in mighty ways, and people are coming to Christ and changing their lives. It's a beautiful thing. You know, one thing that struck me this week as I went through these calls and this passage is that I loved the fact that Jesus never gave up. Yeah? Think about this. So I got into conversation, put it that way, with somebody about this passage, because I said the trouble, and it was a pastor friend of mine actually in the valley, I said the trouble in this text is that these men were self-sufficient and they weren't kingdom-minded. And he said, no, I don't believe that. I said, I do. And he goes, why? And I said, because they kept fishing. They kept going back to what they knew. He goes, no, I go, no, think about it. After Jesus died, where was Peter? He was fishing. He went back to fishing. And do you know that in John chapter 21, Jesus shows up on the beach? And he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What's it going to take, Peter? Yes, Lord, I do. I do. Peter never fished again that we know of after that. But what I'm saying is that even though that they spent 3 years with Jesus, they saw the miracles, they were with the King of the universe, they still went back to what they were comfortable with. Can the same apply for us today? Absolutely. We can go in here and we can get buried in the watery grave and come up. And we can go right back to what we know and what we like and what we trust. But God wants so much more. And what he asks is a lot of us. It is. But the promises that he gives us are even greater. And the fulfillment of those promises are even better. You know, today we can rejoice. And there's a quote I want to read from a little book called The Desire of Ages. And it says, all who are consecrated, who give themselves to God, will be channels of light and are his agents to communicate others the richness of his grace. It's a beautiful thing to know that God wants to use us to be agents of grace for him. And so Jesus comes today and he says, hey, you in the boat, in the Rio Grande, what do you need to leave behind? What is it you need to let go of so that I can come in and fulfill those beautiful promises in your life, with your family, with your business, with your spiritual life? God wants every part of us. Not just the spiritual component. He wants all of it. So that he can transform us into great discipleship makers. Jesus asks a lot, but he also promises much. You know, some of the promises that he gives us as I wrap up today, he promises us life and life abundantly. Amen. That's something that is amazing. He also promises us acceptance. Jesus came down, and remember on Calvary, what happened when the earthquake shook? What happened in the sanctuary? The veil was torn, signifying what? Access to God. Access to God. So now because of Jesus, we can go before the Father. And one of the last thing I want to say, that there's many promises, but the last thing I want to say is, one thing Jesus promises is friendship with God. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that friendship that we can have with God. And I think it's important because God loves us so much that he says that when we live with him, and we will live with him in heaven, we're going to live with him. He's not going to make us a planet and say, okay, you guys go live over there and I'm going to live over here. No, God wants to dwell with us. That's how much God loves us and cares for us and wants to be with us. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I just say, thank you, God. Your love is overwhelming. And I cannot wait to physically, visibly see him face to face. But until then, I'm excited that his spirit can indwell in each and every one of us and transform us here and now. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you used 12 rough and rugged men in the New Testament who were outcasts. They were the dropouts of the synagogue. And Father, you went after them. And you asked a lot of them, but the promises were a lot more. And the fulfillment of those promises are so evident throughout the Gospels and the New Testament. And Father, today we recognize that you also ask each one of us to give up things, to let go of things, to leave behind things, so that we can be a part of the promises that are being fulfilled. Father, it's my prayer today that if people need to let things go today and this week, Father, they can do that. They can say, Jesus, I'm letting this go, this fear, this frustration, this sin, whatever it is, Father. I pray that they can do that with the Spirit's help. And Father, I want to praise you for what you're going to do in our lives in the future and the promises that you're going to fulfill here in Arroyo Grande and the surrounding cities. Because you're a God, you are a God who wants to dwell with us. And that's something that I'm very excited about. Father, I want to ask a blessing on the rest of this special day, this Sabbath day that's set aside to remember you as our Creator and our Redeemer. And Father, I thank you for being here with us and for moving. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Everybody have a great Sabbath. See you guys.